I talked about our belief system last week, where we talked about just believing in God, and believing's not enough. A lot of people believe God, but that's the doorway to salvation. Believe, if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. And I talked about the relevance of having a twofold pronged attack. Just believing, the demons believe, James says. And, you know, if you say you believe, you do well. I would just say, well, whoopee-doo. What are you doing about it? And put your belief into practice. Put your stand and your faith in God into an area that can be done. Just believing in God doesn't give people a spiritual security. And sometimes it's just a pat on the back. Yeah, I believe in God. You know, yeah, I know he's there somewhere. Well, whoopee-doo. You know, that's not really what God wants. He wants us to be profound in our belief and have it directed solidly to where it should be. In Romans chapter 10, do not say in your heart, and sort of talk about things and you know, go over things in your own sense. Who's going to go ascend to heaven and bring Christ down, or who can bring him back from the dead to bring him up? Well, what does it say? The word of faith is nigh you. It's even in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus Christ is your Lord. This is the important thing of salvation. I stand strongly. Jesus is my Lord, my master. Yes, he's my savior, but he's my friend. And my God, my Father in heaven, has been introduced to me through Christ, who came to reveal him to me. And I'm building a relationship constantly on that basis. It needs to be far more to it than just believing. Believing's a doorway to getting somewhere. And so as we move on with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, which will really be believing what God has done for you and what Christ has done. But with mouth, confession is made to salvation. I just want to go on a little bit from that. A common saying around Christian and often used, confession comes before possession. So what is our confession? Do we confess what God says in his word over our lives? A lot of people use the confession of the word to be, to get and to prosper and to do other things. Confession is all of who God has made us to be in him, and taking ownership of it and getting it to belong to us. Being made complete in him, being made whole, being made everything that the scripture says, a new creature in Christ Jesus, having been made righteous, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. I confess that over my life and over my family constantly, because I believe that as I do, it guards them, that gets the protector of their lives into action, covering them from the attack of the enemy. And I believe for that strongly, and not just for myself, but for my whole family. And so we need to have a source and a direction and have it put into practice in our lives. Personal right standing with God maintained if we confess our sins. So I constantly am aware of when I make a mistake. And I don't wait till I feel guilty at the next service or preacher talking or something. I'm aware of mistakes. The Holy Spirit convicts me. If I make a terrible mistake, or if I have a bad attitude, or something goes on, I then listen to the voice of the Spirit. I say, God, I'm sorry I did or said or thought or whatever that. And in the name of Jesus, I confess that and believe for your forgiveness and healing in my life and restoration. I don't want anything to offend you, nor do I want my relationship with you offended. It's simple. I can't afford to have that. I cannot afford for my relationship with God to be on edge, or my own stupidity putting me in a situation where I'm not hearing God clearly and things happening that are perhaps a little bit uncertain. I need to hear God clearly at all times. I need to walk in repentance. Proverbs 28 says this: "He who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy." I want to find, I had the a page here on salvation. With the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth they confess, resulting in salvation. Salvation has two Greek words that are used in the scripture that are interpreted salvation. One is sozo, and it's to be saved. It really means this, to be saved from sin and its consequences. I love that. I had a talk to someone recently about, don't you think we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ? I'm going, for what? You know, as God, your sins and your iniquities I'll remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed. You think he's going to bring it up again and, you know, make me come before a judgment seat? Now, the Bible says we will all face the judgment seat of Christ. But, he sits as a righteous judge and separates the sheep from the goats. And he says to the sheep or the wise virgins or the wheat, enter into the joy of the Lord. The wheat's taken to the barn, which is the storehouse of God, which is there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the others are subjected to darkness. So there's a judgment sheet that are faced, but God's not going to sit there and say, I remember, Emma, when you had a bad... Oh, no. He's not going to bring up anything because he has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. We walk in freedom, liberty, guilt-free. And it's not as though we abuse that or take that with a light-hearted attitude. It's a treasure that we should have, that we guard with all our heart. And that's why it's important to walk in confession in our lives, constantly being aware of the Spirit of God convicting us of sin. The other, it's to heal, to preserve, to do well, and to be made whole. Now, this is incredible, the word sozo. The other word, soteria, is aligned with sozo, but it has a little bit more depth to it in some way. To be rescued and safe, both physically and morally. To be delivered, made whole, to be healed, to have salvation, to be saved, and ongoing saving, it really means there. So God's continually protect. This is the protection factor. He's saving us from everything this life wants to throw at us. Sometimes he has to save us from ourselves. But it's the constant aspect of that saving that is our daily walk that God is constantly walking through us with. I love that. It's so good. So people say, yeah, well, I'm saved. Well, I got saved back in, you know, 1956 or something. It was back then in the old Billy Graham era. Back in that time or whatever, you know, and committed my life to God, but he has been saving me ever since, mostly from myself. I'm a bit of a clot sometimes, you know. I need it. I need God's protection. I need his hand around me. I need his guidance. And that ongoing soteria provides that. And the beauty of it is in the rest of that, he is doing that through the deliverer that is God or Christ our Savior. That's the whole package coming to us that is described salvation in the English language. So in the Bible written in Aramaic or Greek, sozo was the initial step of salvation which brought us into the realm and the family of God. Soteria was the ongoing provision of God in that salvation. I love it. I love it. Just remember that. It's God's provision for us fully. And just believing it, oh yeah, I believe I'm saved. Man, I believe I'm being saved still. I'm constantly working through that system of walking with God in a way that salvation is outworking in my life constantly. But we've got to be aware of that and moving on with God and in our personal right standing with God, confessing our sins, walking in repentance. And he who conceals his sin not prospering. But we go on into Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. let's come boldly before the throne of grace. I mentioned earlier, I forgot this was in here. Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil. You know, when Jesus was crucified and when he died, that veil in the temple that concealed the inner sanctuary from everybody but the high priest was torn, and the Bible says from top to bottom. If it said bottom to top, you could say someone might have done that, but this was God's hand. The way's been made open. There's no more shielding my presence from the people. There's no more me being hidden behind a veil where only a high priest could come in, or like Moses did, he was the only one that could go in there, and Aaron at the time. He took that away literally, and although they got together afterwards in shock and horror and sewed it back up and put it back up, and we can't have the Holy of Holies, you know, visible to the normal plebs and the people in society. No, it's only for the Aaronic priesthood. That was their thinking. They hadn't come to the realization that God's presence was there for us all through the blood of Christ. That's amazing. And so giving us that access to our Father makes it so simple for us to, through believing and through having Jesus Christ as our high priest over the house of God, let's draw near with a true heart, having our hearts sprinkled or cleansed from dead works, it says a little earlier. And full assurance of faith, well, it says here, cleansed from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with the washing of the water of the word, purity of the word just completely enveloping us. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. I think that's the hardest part some Christians come to terms with. Holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering, without floundering, without being discouraged, without wondering why. God, why is this happening to me as a flounder? God, didn't expect this to be going on in my life, or that. God, this has happened and something else. And we almost think it's God's fault. It's not God's fault. Ever. God is not the author of sickness and disease. He doesn't go to the Commonwealth Serum Laboratories and say, hey, here's a vial of something sick. I want to make someone sick today. Now, who can I pour sickness on? He came to heal us, not make us sick. Sickness doesn't come from God. It comes from the pit of hell. It comes because as a result of sin in the human race that was brought about through Adam's fall and right through the whole of humanity, one day there'll be no more death, no more sickness, no more crying, no more pain, because that's what's going to happen when Christ returns and old things, all old former things. That's why there'll be a renewed heaven, a new earth, because everything that was corrupted and defiled will be completely abolished. Ah, what a time we've got to look forward to. But he doesn't judge us with that way. You know, God is not going to teach us a lesson through dilemmas and calamities on the planet. I had someone come to me one day and said, oh, I just can't believe things have gone so bad in my business. I just can't fathom it. It's always been so good, and yet I'm going through such a terrible time, and I have to go bankrupt. Have I lost that? No? Still there? I haven't got a light on. Oh, yes, I have. And I went, that's really bad. I said, you know, it's things in life. And he says, oh, no, I believe God sent me broke to teach me something. I'm like, hang on now. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. And he provides for us according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He provides and meets every need. He will supply all our needs. If we need well-being and health and finances and funding and food, he will provide it. God is not the author of bankruptcy. Now, things in this world go upside down and topsy-turvy. We've had some pretty terrible financial disasters over the past several years. And some of those things have affected a lot of people. We were affected. Look at the interest rates that happened back there when, I don't know, we were paying 19% on our, we bought our house in Gisborne at something like 8%, and it was 19% by the time we moved in. We went through all sorts of financial stress at that time, but we never once failed God and never once failed in giving in to Him. We found that was our salvation, our soteria, our well-being through the hardest of trials and times. And I never once turned around and said, God, why is this happening to me? I just said, God, you're my Lord, you're my provider, you're the one I depend on, and I thank you for all that we need being supplied according to your riches in glory. And whatever we needed, it didn't always come when I expected it, but it came from unexpected sources. I remember we used to go out as a family and sing, and we would go places, and we were up, I think it was Malden, and we'd been singing up there at a Christian convention, and we were going to stay the night and realised that we didn't have enough money to get a motel. We were like, well, we're just going to have to go home. Oh, but we wanted to go on the train ride tomorrow, and the kids were all looking forward to everything that was happening the next day. And we just said, well, we'll just trust God because He knows what we need. And within about 20 minutes, someone walked past me and said, oh, I just want to feel like I should be giving you this. And it was what we needed, plus a little bit over for us to enjoy the next day. That happened over and over and over again. We were outside Wet n Wild in Fort Worth in Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth. We'd been to a convention over there and enjoyed 3 days of the most amazing ministry, and we went to Fort Worth. We told the kids we would go to Wet n Wild on the way that afternoon. We got there at around 3 o'clock, and we realized that a day ticket was some ridiculous figure that we balked at. And we went, whoa, this is nuts. And it was 4 o'clock, it opened up, and it was half price or a lot less. So we figured, well, we'll just sit around till 4 o'clock. We were sitting in the van outside the front door, ready to go and park the van. And a guy walked up and he said, oh, are you going in today? And we said, oh, we were hoping to. And he said, oh, I've got a whole heap of spare tickets. We had everything we needed. That's the God we trust. He's our soteria provided through Christ Jesus. Our provision, our help. We didn't bawl and squall about, oh God, we're here in the middle of America and we wanted to go swimming. We just said, well, we just trust God. We'll wait. And God has so many capacities and ways of meeting what we need in Christ Jesus. Our believing has to be founded, grounded, immovable, unshakable, and not wavering at all. I've never once had cause to doubt God. Now, when I was a younger Christian, we were taught to doubt God. We were taught things like, you know, if you do this, that's going to happen to you and something else. And I sort of thought, God's just so mean and miserable. I had the wrong picture of God. I had a completely wrong painting of God that was put in my head through well-meaning preachers that didn't have a clue. And that's all I can say. But I found that when I got to know Him, when I found what He'd done for me, what He'd made me to be in Him, how His idea for me wasn't to get saved so I could go to heaven and be with Him one day. I was saved so I could shine for Him and be an example of the believers in word and conduct and deed and in faith, and let others be affected and affected by the power and the operation of God in my life. Wow, what a difference. What a difference. And that's the importance of coming to know Him in a way where we believe fully that everything He says He is, everything He says He does, everything He provides us for, everything in the Word that talks about who God is and why He has done things for us, let us draw near with a true heart in doubt and unbelief, no, full assurance of faith, full assurance, having our hearts cleansed from an evil conscience and our bodies fully enveloped with pure water, washed from their own, what, its own filth, washing of water by the word. And it's interesting, the analogy used there was when they came into the Old Testament covenant or tabernacle, they came firstly with their sacrifices, which they were sacrificed on the altar of sacrifice just inside the front door. Their next step was to go a little further to the laver of water and wash. And they would wash themselves, and that was significance of them cleansing themselves from every defilement that their body had gone into through the world's travels, etc. But really, it's the wash. The Bible calls it the washing of water by the word. My cleansing of my life is washed through my intake of God's word. It cleanses me, it purifies me, it holds me and sustains me, and it gives me so much more to draw on. Jesus said, if you drink of the water I shall give, it shall be in you a river springing up into everlasting life. That's the faith and confidence I have in God. That's the belief system we need to walk in, that God has given that to every one of us. And we hold fast the profession and confession of our faith without wavering, doubting, denying, thinking, excusing, having all sorts of other ideologies come through. Another thing, oh, you never know what God will do. I do know what God will do. It's written in His Word. 100%. He can't violate His word. He can't come out of left field and say, well, I'm going to do this time. I'm going, hang on a minute. Because that would make him, we couldn't doubt and trust in him that way. We wouldn't have faith in him. The faith is consistent and constant. And our belief and our fixation on who God is, what He has said He will do, what He has done for us, who He has made us to be in Christ Jesus, gives us no doubt and no reason to waver or to fall apart. I really don't think I can go on to the next point because it's going to go a little too far. But I just go to the next slide, Hebrews 10:23, holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Get something solid that you need to trust God for, that you know is His provision. And I come to the throne of grace to find help in time of need and say, Father God, I know that You're my protector. I'm believing for protection in this situation. You guard my heart and mind. You are such a great backstop. You're my foundation. You're the pillar I lean on. And God, I don't want my own inabilities to influence what's going on in my life now. I just need Your abilities. That's what I'm believing for. And I come to Him with a list of what I believe for because of what He says in His Word. And what is my mouth saying to make that believing effective? My words have to confess the answer. They have to confess my faith profession, holding fast the profession of my faith without wavering. I cannot say one thing, believe, or do another. And I can't do something if I've been professing. Everything must be aligned and synced so that I'm not wavering. It's not God that's the problem whenever things don't go the way we think they should. We need to be sure that our belief, our faith are consistent and aligned with who God is and what He has provided for us, so that our lives are contained fully in the palm of His hands. And like I read the scripture from Deuteronomy, He will give us tough shoes for a tough walk. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. You get tough shoes when you need them. You don't wear them all the time, but I'll tell you what, if you need tough shoes for a tough walk, they're provided. And as your day is, whatever strength you need will be provided to you. So shall your strength be. And if God knows we need a lot of strength for a day that's going to be a real trial and a test in our life, His provision for it is there. And he doesn't come along and pour out a whole heap of power and strength when we've got an easy day. As our day is, he'll match it with whatever his provision is. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you're a God that is so trustworthy, so faithful, so there, so for us and not against us. And if you're for us, who can be against us, Lord? So we confess that in the name of Jesus. Every attack of the enemy, every doubt, every violation of your life in us that is being challenged in the name of Jesus, we stand against it, we rebuke it, and we say, God, you are our shield, our protector, our deliverer, and our salvation in all things. And we believe solidly and have faith for it. We will always come to your throne of grace to find help in time of need, boldly and without wavering, in Jesus' name. Bless you all. Amen. Amen. Might have to continue this on and get another week or two out of this, but so far, so good. Praise God. All right, we're going to have a bit of fellowship and a coffee out there if you've got time, and enjoy some company and say hello to people you don't know.